Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? With the one and only Sister AJ. Well, we have a wonderful broadcast in store for you today. We've been talking about the Chosen series, the series that has been produced by Dallas Jenkins. He's the director. And we've been really dissecting it and showing why it's a show that is not worthy of your attention. Now, we're giving it attention because as people involved in apologetics, that's what we do. But we wouldn't want you to spend any time watching it because it's just a waste of time. Before we bring Sister AJ on to go and do this wonderful two-hour broadcast that we have in store for you today, let me just make some quick announcements. One is we have a sister by the name of Irene Katowski. Want you to pray for her because Monday she's going in for consultation. They took an MRI of her body and they saw a spot. And she's going in for a consultation on Monday. And then the following Monday, probably she's going in for surgery to remove what's in the spot. So pray for Sister Irene Katowski. Just say, Sister Irene, The Lord knows who she is. Then we have a brother that we're praying for, Brother Kevin Morris. Brother Kevin Morris happens to be the brother, the natural brother of Sister Linda Morris, one of our beloved radio church members who went to be home with the Lord last year. And so we're praying for him because he's battling both diabetes and bone cancer. So let's pray. Let's continue to pray for Brother Kevin. Also, I am now pastoring a church. I took on a small congregation. There's like 10 to 12 people. Nobody really knows how many are still part of the church because I asked for an exact list of names, and one list says 10, another list says 12. It's a small group. The church has basically died out. But I took on the pastorate because my wife and kids, they've been bouncing around from one church to another. And they've been going from one church to another because everywhere they go, the pastor's just wacky. And they come back to tell me the stories, and I tell them, don't bother going back. So there's no place for us to go. So my wife says, you're going to have to start a church. I said, no, I'm retired. I don't want to start a church. And so it just happened that this church fell into our hands. And, of course, I believe the Lord put it in our hands. So now I'm back to pastoring. Now, it's not rigorous pastoring because how rigorous can it be to, you know, take care of 10 to 12 people? Not very vigorous. But I'm believing God for a revival, as I've always been praying for a revival. That's nothing new, not because I'm pastoring a church am I believing for a revival. I've been praying for a revival for years because we need one because we're in bad shape. So I started a Tuesday night prayer meeting, and if you want more information on that, then just contact me, and I'll tell you how to meet us on Tuesday night for the Tuesday night prayer meeting. Now, what we have is before the 1 hour prayer meeting, we have a prayer institute where we're teaching on prayer, and then after that, we have an hour of prayer, and it's an online. You call in. It's a free conference call. Call in each and every week, and you dial the number, and you announce yourself. You say your name, and it lets you in, and then you can be part of this prayer meeting. And people, so far, now we just started a couple of weeks ago, and already we have people from all over the country calling in for prayer. So even though we're in a little town in upstate New York, the church is located in a little town in upstate New York, people are calling from all over the country to join this one-hour prayer meeting with a one-hour Bible study before on what is prayer and why we're praying for revival and so forth and so on. So if you want an hour and a half of good church quality fellowship, then contact me and I'll tell you how to get on and how to show up for this fellowship. All right. Without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. Sister AJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We're getting a snowstorm tomorrow. The warning is that we're going to get it tonight at about 9. And it'll be all night Wednesday, all day Thursday until early Friday morning.
Okay. So, well, we're already getting that now here where I'm at. It's raining now that it's going to convert to an icy mix. And then sometime tonight we should get snow. And into tomorrow morning the snow will get that. And the lower, the freezing temperatures and all that, so it'll be some ice around here for sure. So we're it's all going up in a diagonal line from around here to where you are, from what I could see.
Right. So that's what's going to be happening. So, I got a lot of work to do. I got more shoveling than I do pastoring. Can you imagine that?
Right.
I mean, it's crazy, right? It's crazy, but that's life.
Right.
That's life. That's life. But I've been enjoying this series. Now, amazingly enough, this is part 40 of this series.
Right.
And we've been at this for a while now, and it's just been very enjoyable. It's been very, very good, very a real blessing to really look at this guy's work and say, it's just rubbish, no good. What have you to say?
Right. Well, I like to exercise our nitpicking muscles as well. I didn't realize it had been that many episodes, but, you know, I thank the Lord for, you know, what he's given us, and thank you for encouraging me to do this series, because at first I was just going to mention it and do something else, but I believe it did need to be addressed in more detail, because this is something that has become very big inside evangelical church circles, I'll say, in particular, and concerned that people are looking at it as more than just entertainment. No matter what Dallas says about this, is it to replace the Bible or anything, but it definitely, based on comments I've seen in the YouTube videos that we've used there, it looks like it's more people are looking at the scriptures through the lens of what Dallas is showing them, that people are believing that these are accurate portrayals of Jesus's personality and the personalities of the apostles, even though we haven't seen all 12 of them yet. We're already halfway through the second season.
right.
So Dallas is dragging that out. You know, the timeline is just all over the place. Sometimes it's a little confusing, and it does. A lot of it is extra biblical. Even he admits that. So it's been a challenge, but we're up for it.
Yeah, and let me just amend what I said before, that this is our 40th broadcast. Obviously, it's not our 40th with The Chosen or Dallas Jenkins. We started with Joel Osteen and his series.
Right. Right.
But when you combine the two that we've been looking at, we've done 40. This will be 40.
Right. Main reason I wanted to do these, especially just to show how when Jude talks about men that creep in unawares, there's ways that they do it besides the pulpit and church going in a formal setting like we're familiar with. He does that too, but there's other ways. And I know, and I think a big way is it is through entertainment, especially where all this technology, where the access to it is easier than ever before.
Right. Well, let's stop there for a moment and let's talk about entertainment and music. How does Snoop Dogg creep into the church? He put together a gospel album, right?
Right. And he got some heavy hitters within, especially the black Christian church, to assist him with that album.
How did Kanye West creep into the church? The same way. Mm-hmm. Entertainment, music, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't think any of the two guys got credibility. I mean, look at Kanye now, his Sunday services.
Yeah.
How could he his whole life is a mess.
Right.
And he wants to do Sunday services? No, dude, no. No. So, again, these guys creep in. And it's not through the pulpit. It's through entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And
yes.
And it is just as eroding as the pulpit.
Right.
This is eroding.
And especially when your guard is kind of down when we take in music and entertainment to some degree, it can bypass your critical thinking skills because you're just taking it all in. So, and with the world stuff that we look at, we know we may have more of a filter up and we can keep it in its proper place most of the time. I'm not saying that works for everybody. Every one of us is different, and the Holy Spirit will guide us on what things to stay away from, especially if it was a stumbling block for you before. But in general, we can kind of filter that stuff because we understand it's Hollywood, it's the world. But
right.
What happens when someone who's supposed to be a brother in Christ, like a Dallas Jenkins or a Joel Osteen, if you like him, and they bring this stuff to you, you might be willing to overlook a lot of things about it that you wouldn't overlook if it was somebody else doing it. If it was, let's say, Steven Spielberg or somebody doing this movie.
Mm-hmm. And if it was Steven Spielberg, you would say, okay, that could be expected because Steven Spielberg is not a spirit-filled believer. He's not born again. So, of course,
mm-hmm.
he's going to put out rubbish. But when a guy claims to be an evangelical or Christian and whose daddy's a famous co-author of an end-time book series on the Antichrist, you would think he would know better.
Yes.
Right? But,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay, so he's an evangelical. So what is he doing partnering with Mormons? I mean, that's basic stuff. It's basics. You don't partner with unbelievers. And who told him they were his brothers? I mean,
it wasn't the Holy Spirit.
No, or any credible teacher could tell you. And his daddy should have told him, these aren't your brothers.
That's right.
His daddy doesn't have any credibility either. I'm sorry. Listen, those of you out there, don't ever ask him about Jerry Jenkins. I'm going to tell you, it's rubbish.
Exactly.
Please. No. That's no. Uh-uh. Sorry. Can't, no. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
So they're actually giving or helping to give the LDS / the Mormon folks what they've been seeking for decades now, which is credibility in the church world as just another Christian denomination. And Dallas claims they love the same Jesus, but the point is what they're doing is they're presenting a Jesus that can, if you concentrate more on the characteristics that both parties can agree on, it's a compromise Jesus where he might not be overtly at the biblical Jesus, but you can live with him if you're a Christian. That I think that's what Dallas is trying to do with this, by merging the two.
Right, but it's like Dallas.
He's not overtly Mormon, but he's not necessarily biblical either.
Right. It's like Dallas said when those Mormons told him, oh, we love that Jesus that you had in that first episode because he looked
mm-hmm.
like our Jesus. And what did Dallas say? Oh, don't let the evangelicals hear you saying that. Don't let them hear you saying that.
Right?
Yes, right? Because the evangelicals know that their Jesus and ours is different.
Mm-hmm.
We know. So... No, listen, it's, again, he wants to grab whatever Jews are our liberal Jews. He wants to bring them in. He wants to bring in the Roman Catholics. He wants the Mormons. He wants the dopey evangelicals who don't know any better. All because it's the cash. It's the golden calf.
And for him also, success, validation for him as a filmmaker, because he bombed out in Hollywood, so he sees this as his vindication.
Right. Right. Listen, you know, if we take Jesus, right, you know, Jesus went to so many different places, and in those places, if we use the term you just used, bombed out, Jesus bombed out in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he bombed out is because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Paul said, listen, when I preach Jesus and him crucified, to the Jews, that's not an appealing message. To them, it's a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, it's foolishness. He says, I'm bombing out. I'm bombing out with both groups.
Right.
And so you expect to bomb out with the world, and the only place where you're going to have someone lending their ear, it's among the remnant. The remnant. That's it.
But Dallas wasn't willing to let it go. And I mentioned this last week that his so-called failure in Hollywood could have actually been God trying to keep him out of the traps. But when you come up, especially with the prosperity gospel and these other types of heretical teachings that may have us thinking that Jesus is always co-signing our aspirations and hopes and dreams and plans, that any failure is either the devil or something you did wrong or whatever, that you can get you can get into a lot of trouble. And sometimes, despite our ignorance, God will still try to protect you and put roadblocks up. But if we insist on going around them, eventually you're going to fall into one of those traps. And I believe that might be what happened with Dallas. Just my opinion. What say you on that, brother?
Listen, Dallas was easy pickings. Listen,
yeah.
It was easy for Satan to lure him. Because John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, right? The pride of life. Oh, he wanted to make it so bad. Oh, it hurt his ego when he bombed. See, the pride of life is one of the things that Satan puts on that mousetrap. That's what he does.
That's right.
He went for it. He dove for it.
Right.
And you have got to be, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to do like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Live in a tent and seek the city whose founder and maker is God. That's it.
Absolutely.
This world, don't do like Lot now. Don't go down to Sodom. Don't try to be one of his, you know, when Lot was sitting at the gate, that meant he was a political figure. He had been voted in for some position.
Of some prominent position he held in the city.
Right. And then when he was acting stupid to the Sodomites, when the Sodomites in life, they said, look at this carpetbagger. Look at this sojourner. He came in here, and now look at him. He thinks he can rule us and tell us what to do. See, that's the world.
Right.
The world will vote you in as long as you're going their way. And the moment you say, stop, don't do this, they'll call you a carpetbagger. They'll call you a loser. They'll call you a foreigner. You don't belong here. We should have never let you in here. Look at the way you're treating us now and blah, blah, blah. So, no, listen, stay with the Lord, and you're going to have to say no to the success in the world. I am a failed author. I am a failed. I don't know how many, every one of my books has bombed. Every one. But I'm happy in Jesus. I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they tell the truth.
Right.
They tell the truth. Every one of my books has bombed. I can't, listen, Sister AJ, I can't even give them away.
that's bad.
I mean, that's bad. That's bad. Listen, when you can't even give them away, that's pitiful. I have bombed. Oh, my goodness. The other day, I started writing a new book, and my wife says, "What for, my beloved? What? Why are you wasting your time?" You know, what for? Hey, you know, I want to fail again. I want to bomb out again. You know.
Right. Sometimes failure is good in the eyesight of God.
Correct. Correct. See? That's it. That's what it is.
And Dallas should have been like, when it's funny you mentioned Abraham, because I was just looking at that yesterday, as a matter of fact, where he, remember when he went and got Lot back when those kings defeated Sodom and brought it and captured everyone, and Lot was one of them, and Abram had to go and take his army in and rescue Lot, and then the king of Sodom tried to give Abram all the loot that he had collected in those battles, and Abram was like, no how, no way. God is my source. I'm not keeping nothing that belongs to you. So basically, so he wouldn't be indebted to this king, and this king thinking, oh, okay, I own him now because I gave him all this stuff. That's what I think was going on. When the devil gives you something, there's always strings attached. Always.
Always. Always. See, always. And that's the problem. See, that's why the Lord protects us. That's why the Lord shelters us from making any kind of connections with these people. Any kind of connections with these insane people. And especially, you know, if you come out of the Pentecostal circle like I did, that's where all the kooks are. You know, you find 99% of the kooks, they're in the Pentecostal circles. Right? I mean, the C. Peter Wagners, the Cindy Jacobs, the that other prophet who never gets one right. What's that guy's name?
What, Chuck Pierce or Rick?
Chuck Pierce. Oh, that guy. Oh my goodness, that guy is horrible. Horrible. I met him in person 3 or 4 times. I can't remember. It's been a lot. And every time I went to go, I just said, maybe this time he'll get a basket inside the hoop. And every time it was a clunker off the backboard.
A clunker off the backboard.
That's it. Never got anything right. Never. And that's the sad part. Right? Cindy Jacobs, that lady's a nut. She'd be prophesying some crazy, and the people, they're clapping and shouting and jumping up and down, and I'm saying, wow, these people love Kool-Aid. They just love it. They serve me, and the next night she come back and serve up some more crazier Kool-Aid than that. I mean, these, you know.
But that's what the people want. Because isn't there a script where they ask the prophet, prophesy smooth things to us?
Right, yeah. And see, guys like Brian Kahn, that's what they do. That's, you know, and here's the thing. Brian Kahn was making a killing in the church. He was the hottest thing in the church. Even Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan was jealous of him. I can tell you that in his prime, Brian Kahn, that young African American false prophet, in his heyday, Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan there was smoke coming out of his ears because that kid was raking in more money than he was. Right, but what messed up Brian Kahn, that he went and listened to a witch. And he took her prophecy, and he tried to use it. He was so stupid, he used it in the same order, the same word.
And he got caught.
and he got caught. And see, so God exposed him, and he hasn't been able to get up from where he fell on his face yet. He's tried, but nobody's given Brian Kahn the time of day. Nobody. He's finished. And he started two churches to kind of compensate the money that he was making proper lying, and even that
right.
is on life support.
Right.
You see? So that's what happens with these guys. They are soon found out. And
right.
So yeah, Dallas, you know, Dallas is different, dealing with a different medium. Of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the powerful medium of television, the powerful medium of visual arts. It's a powerful medium, I got to tell you.
It is.
Because look at all the people that subscribe to Disney channels. And, I mean, cable TV is making a killing. TV's a big thing, man. It's big. It's really big.
Right.
And basically, a YouTube channel is a TV channel. That's basically what a YouTube channel is. It's a personal TV channel. You know, where people put up their own garbage.
Yeah,
or,
pretty
you know,
much.
Their own material. Yeah. So it's whether on a social media platform or whether on regular TV or on the silver screen in the movies, visual is a big thing. It's big. Big. So Dallas
yes, it
is making a killing. He's making a killing. Listen, there's no denying it's successful. There's no denying he's got warehouses full of Jesus junk that are flying off the crates. No
yes,
denying
he
that.
Is.
But this is apostasy. That's what this is. That's what
That's right.
this is. That's what it is. All right, so tell me where we need to go, because I know I got this thing back again where I got to scroll down. And just give me, my wife says, give him the monkey instructions, because that's all the monkey can handle.
So are you on the home page or where
yeah,
you're
I'm
at?
On the home page, yep.
You know, up there on the top where it says watch, up top
right.
there under the chosen logo, click on watch.
Okay, there
and
we
then
are.
You scroll down and click on season two and just look down at the thumbnail pictures to make sure that that it's on season two. And the episode we're looking for is episode four, The Perfect Opportunity. And if you need to move it to see the episode,
mm-hmm.
it's a really thin line at the below
right.
the pictures there.
I
that's
have it
got
right
arrows
here. Okay.
on that's
mm-hmm.
got
I
arrows
got
on either end. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, whenever you want to scroll see some more of the higher episodes, just put your cursor over that arrow to the right and it'll turn
okay.
green and then you can click on it. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
But you click
so
on
now,
number four and then we stopped at 43:14 of that episode.
Okay. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring it to 40. Is that okay?
Yeah, however you – because
okay.
we were left off with Simon, the
and his brother.
Zealot.
Yeah, they're arguing.
Yeah, they're talking.
Right. So, okay, I put it back to 40, okay? This way
All
we
right.
can pick
Got
up a
it.
Little bit where we were, where we left off. Okay, here it is.
All right.
Are we to be purged too? You left me. You left all of us.
I left you to save you.
Do I look saved to you? I can't believe. You are worse than you used to be. My legs are the same as when you left.
I'm not talking about your legs. I'm talking about you.
This godforsaken place has turned my strong brother into someone hopeless.
And where should I hope him? After all these years?
You and your murderous kind.
Jesse, It's killed me to watch you suffer in your life. And I am sorry. I truly am. But that's not the only kind of pain. And you're not the only one who feels it. But you know what? I am at least doing something about mine. And I'm not sitting in a bed waiting to die.
Have you said all you need to say?
I have to be in the upper city.
Oh, let's meet by. Less than a mile away. Might as well be 1,000 miles to me. Whoever it is, don't do it. It's not worth it. If they catch you, they'll kill you.
I am not afraid of death. I just wanted to say goodbye. Because I didn't do it right the first time. I do love you. And I love God. Goodbye, Jesse.
By the time you read this, I will be halfway to the mountains to join the zealots of the fourth philosophy in the spirit of our great King David, who sang, "Zeal for your house has consumed me."
My lord, I was a better writer then.
And from Zephaniah, "Behold, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth." Jesse, when you stand on 2 feet, I will know the Messiah has come. I will fight for the freedom of Zion in order to see that day.
I stand by you. Farewell, Jesse.
Let's pause it there, because now a new scene is coming up. So anything of anything you want to share on that section?
Aside from this exchange never happened, and there's nothing in scripture or commentaries to suggest that Simon was related to the guy that got healed at the pool of Bethesda. And also what came up last week that we talked about was how Dallas is presenting the Pool of Bethesda as this pagan shrine. And Simon was ashamed of his brother for being there looking for healing.
Right.
So that's what that exchange was about. And of course, you called it last week. Once the man gets healed, Simon's going to find out that he was healed and then go seek out Jesus to follow him. And of course, we know from reading about how Jesus calling his disciples in the scriptures, that that's just not how it happened at all. You know, so this
right.
is just, the timelines are just terrible, and he's taking little bits and pieces from things that happened at different times and just switching them all around. What say you, brother?
Yeah, those points that you make are great because, for example, the Gospels never make a connection between Simon the Zealot and the guy whom Jesus healed as being brothers, right? Now, that why is that a nitpick? Well, because Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And the fact mm-hmm. that it was his mother-in-law was not hidden from the reader. So why is John hiding from the reader that the guy who was healed at the well or at the pool was Simon's brother? See, because the gospel, right, if there's a relationship, the gospel, like, for example, Martha and Mary, we all know that Jesus raised their brother from the dead. It wasn't hidden from anybody. It wasn't hidden from the readers that Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha.
And we know who James and John's parents were.
Right.
Or
right.
that James was at least a stepbrother, a brother of Jesus. So we know some relational connections in the Bible.
Right. So, again, this is just, and that whole pagan thing, I mean, a center of pagan. Listen, when Antiochus Epiphanes brought a pig to the temple to put it on the altar, the whole nation rose up.
Yes.
You mean to tell me you're going to have a pagan center of healing in the middle of Jerusalem, the holy city, and that's going to fly with the people of God? That's crazy.
I agree. Sometimes you just can pick these things apart just with common sense, especially like you have a lot of knowledge about the history and the culture and stuff of the time. It's just not something they would have tolerated.
I've been reading on the Gospel of John since I got saved. Books, magazines, articles on the healing at the pool. I mean, there's mm-hmm. been so much speculation. Which one of the angels, because, you know, Raphael is one of the apocrypha angels.
Right.
Because, you know, in the apocrypha books, there's seven archangels. One of them is Raphael. Or Raphael, as some would say, and he was supposedly, based on his name, the angel of healing. Was it Raphael that came down and moved the waters? You know how people speculate
mm-hmm.
and come up with all kinds.
Right.
None of that. This thing about a pagan, I said, what? Was I snoring in class? Was I snoring in class when my professor was teaching, you know, the Gospel of John? No, this is crazy.
I never heard that before until I saw this. And sure, you could go out on the internet and find blogs and different things about it, but I don't recall ever hearing about this anywhere else, and not in any good commentary or dictionary or anything. Even the little illustrated Bible dictionary that I have, it's not in here.
Listen, you read Ryrie Study Bible, you won't find that. You read the NIV Scholarly Study Bible. Any study Bible you read. Now, I don't have a copy of the John MacArthur Study Bible, but if there's anybody out there who has a copy of it, go look at John 5 for us and call in, and you let us know if John MacArthur promotes anything like that. I have not read anywhere, and I got all kinds of study Bibles. I have the Oxford Annotated Bible. I checked when I saw that, I checked that out. No, nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've looked at everything, every commentary I have, nothing. nothing. This is bizarre.
Right. I don't know why Dallas chose to put this in here, and I don't see it doing anything but causing some confusion in people, especially people that are embracing this show.
Right, right, right. And it's like, kind of, you know, it's kind of saying like, you know, maybe God can use black magic. Maybe God and black magic can partner. You know, the Pope, John Paul II, in the Daily News, there's a Daily News article back in, I think it's got to be 1983 of memories. I have it in one of my boxes where I have, you know, old school papers and stuff like that. But I have an article from the Daily News where John Paul II, he was visiting Haiti at the time, and he said, the gospel and black magic can work together. That's kind of the notion here with you know, the evil eye and Jesus can see eye to eye kind of thing.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because people can't see the visuals, but all these decorations and stuff, those are pagan symbols that they got here. That, so they're really playing up this pagan roots of the Pool of Bethesda here in this show, in this scene.
And the other thing is, you know, the disciples come to Jesus and say, Master, what say you about this place? He said, well, maybe someday somebody will come up and tell us.
Right.
What?
Right.
What did you say?
Jesus never seems to know anything important in this video, in this show. That's the other thing. He's all
right,
over the place.
Right. He's like a Joel Osteen.
Either you're omniscient or you're not.
Right. Right. Someday somebody will tell. Well, no, well, that's why you came. You came to tell us these things.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to wait for somebody else. We've been waiting for you. You're the Messiah.
Right.
You're the one who the nations desired. We want to hear from you. This is crazy. Well, maybe that's a prophecy where this Jesus is saying someday someone will tell us, and maybe it's a subliminal message that somebody will tell us is Dallas Jenkins. I don't know.
Maybe so.
But he ain't telling us nothing anyway.
Nope.
Okay. So here's Jesus and his disciples, and they're going to be showing up somewhere. I think it's the evil eye place. Let's see.
This is what all the fuss is about. An oversized mikveh. I have a feeling we haven't seen it all yet. Shalom. Me? Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed? Who are you?
My get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. So?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. So...
Look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up. Pick up your mat. And walk.
Like he said. Don't forget your bed.
Why does this matter?
Because you're not coming back here. That life is over. Everything changes now.
You! It's Shabbat. What are you doing?
Torah forbids carrying a mat on Shabbat?
Not Torah, the oral tradition.
Yes. Transporting objects from one domain to another violates Shabbat.
All right, so let's pause it there for a minute. What say you?
Well, first of all, he drags out this dialogue between the Lord and the man because it only Jesus only asked him one time, did he want to be made well? And then the next thing he says is rise up and take up your bed. But
let me read that for the audience so that they can see your point.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I want to read it to the audience so they can see your point that you just made, because this is dragged out, right? Okay. John 5:6, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, and said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answers, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another man steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise up and take up thy bed and walk. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. Nothing
That's
about
right.
You've been having a long day for a long time, and you've been, you know, and none of that garbage. To the point.
And then, yeah, I mean, and then the part playing into the so-called pagan origins, Jenk and Jesus says to the man, this place can do nothing for you. This pool can do nothing for you. So it's another subtle way of saying that this is a pagan thing, and it can't help him, or you know. So it's playing up to that again without saying it. And then another thing, and we're getting ready to get into this part with the Jews, but I wanted to know if this was Dallas is showing them actually at the pool when Jesus walks by, they see him and they look around. And so when they hear the guy laughing after he gets healed, they look around again. And they run up to him when he's getting ready to walk off. But the thing is, there's nothing here in John that suggests they witnessed the miracle. They saw the guy carrying his bed a little bit after that. And then they asked him, what you doing? It's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. That's verse 10 in John 5.
Right.
So,
and in addition,
plus, wouldn't they be considered unclean if they were in this pagan location around all these sick people, especially since they're getting ready for the Feast of the Tabernacle, right?
Look, Jesus would have been unclean. The disciples would have been unclean. The Pharisees would have been unclean. They all would have been. This whole thing makes no sense. That's like Jesus going to a pork roast. It would make no sense. And here's the other thing. There's no dialogue between the man and Peter. Peter doesn't say,
nope.
Hey, you know, just keep walking. This is your best. He's like Joel Osteen. This is your best life now. No, Peter said nothing.
Right.
And the other disciples were not writing anything.
Yes.
It's like
John
is writing
his
gospel now.
Book.
Yeah, no. See, John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't then. It wasn't at that time. Oh, my goodness. This is so horrible. Horrible.
Right.
Okay, let's see.
Man who healed
you don't realize what just happened here? Why are you trying to make this about Shabbat?
He said to me, take up your bed and walk. Who did? Who told you that? He did. I don't know. He didn't tell me his name.
No. Of course not. He performs a magic trick and tells you to commit a sin. A false prophet. This will be reported.
Report whatever you want.
I am standing on two legs.
I'm sorry. I need to go find my brother.
Okay, so the newly healed man, he leaves running. And he looks like Forrest Gump running. and so now I guess the plot to assassinate the Roman official is on the way, because now I see a Jewish guy. He's in costume. And let me tell you something. The disguise that this Jewish guy has while he's pulling the wagon lets you know he's up to no good. I mean, come on.
Nobody would be fooled by that.
No, in other words, you'll be tipping them off. Wait a minute, what is this guy all dressed up like this for? He's got to be up to no good because nobody, I mean, this is, the costume is so stupid.
Right.
It's like a dead giveaway that you're up to no good.
Mm-hmm, because it's the Sabbath, right? He's not supposed
right.
to be doing that.
He's not supposed to be pulling the wagon. Again, another faux pas. Another stupid cultural, misinterpretation.
Right.
Pulling a wagon like if he was an ox on the Sabbath.
Only a Pharisee like us would even notice that, bro.
That's right. Only a hater like us. Only haters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. It's my first time. I'm headed to the upper city.
Okay, so now there is a Roman bodyguard acting as though he is the Roman official. He's in costume like if he's the Roman official. And
mm-hmm.
he's holding the Roman official's wife's hand, I guess, and
right.
Trying to act like her loving husband, only to persuade or dupe the assassins that he's it. And he's, I guess, the bait for this assassination,
right.
Stopping this assassination.
To stop it, yeah. That's the guy that's been following Simon all this time.
Correct. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for letting me see that.
Thank you for being with me.
Well, the Pharisees were pretty upset.
That was almost as much fun to watch as the miracles.
This week should be fun, huh? I do have a question, Rabbi.
It's Matthew.
Waiting 30 more minutes wouldn't have mattered to that man. Why did you do this on Shabbat?
Sometimes you gotta stir up the water.
Wow. What a poor choice of words.
One of Dallas's Jesus jokes, as he likes to call them.
Yeah, but you know, that's very close to stirring the blank.
As if you see what Jesus to be this deliberate agitator, even though, of course, he knew what the Jews were going to do, but...
Right. But you see, the phrase stirring up the water, in other words, Dallas would, that he would like to say something else, but he used that
right.
phrase, see?
Or stirring the pot, that's another one we use when we're doing
right.
something that deliberately starts a mess, basically.
But you see, stirring the water and stirring the blank. See, if I had said in front of my mother or my grandmother or my grandfather, I want to stir up the water, they would have smacked me right in my mouth.
Because they know the hidden meaning behind that.
Right.
And plus that he's got Jesus running away. He heals the guy and then takes off. But
right.
in the scripture, in John 5, there's a whole section where Jesus is engaging with the Pharisees there or the Jews there about this situation and who he is. And it's just a whole bunch of good stuff that Dallas missed in the rest of the chapter. Jesus did not run off from this situation.
Right. And the other thing is, Jesus is not some entertaining magician that where Peter and the others can, you know, get to see, you know, that was good to see. I mean, no.
Right.
No, you know.
Like going to the circus or going somewhere, like you say, and seeing a magic trick that you thought was
right.
cool.
Right. No. Wow. Yeah, Jenkins Jesus, he's kind of ghetto. Jenkins Jesus has got a, you know, he's got a Kanye streak in him. Wow. Complete rubbish.
Yeah.
Wow,
he's
garbage.
All over the place, kind of like Kanye. I would agree on that.
Right, yeah. This is, on the one hand, it's enjoyable to break this stuff up. It's good to look at because, again, it keeps us sharp. But you got to admit, this is just junk.
Yes, it is. And for the audience, just the part where there was pretty much nothing but music, that was Simon carrying out sort of him and his friends going through that assassination attempt that they had planned, but then in the middle of it, Simon sees his brother walk by, and then he pauses and decides, and he ends up not killing the guy, and then he runs to his brother and sees him walking, and they talk and hug, and then I guess the brother is telling him, giving him a description or something of the guy that healed him and which way he might have gone. And so Simon's running like he's looking to find Jesus. So that's what you heard there when it was just the music.
Yeah. No, this is, and I don't know what, listen, what Roman official, knowing that there's an assassination plot on him, has three soldiers?
None. And I was looking at that and how Simon's kneeling down there about to do the deed. And I'm like, and they're staring at each other. And I know Dallas has got this kind of going in slow motion, but I'm like, how much more can you telegraph what you're about to do?
I mean, again, you have two bodyguards. First of all, you got the guy acting as though he is the Roman official, right? He's the dummy or
the decoy,
right? He's with his wife. Now, mm-hmm. What guy, knowing he's going to be assassined, is going to put his wife right there in the assassination attempt? That's stupid.
Nobody. Mm-mm.
Nobody. Then the guy who is going to be assassined, he's in the entourage.
Now, that's some other guy. That's kind of an assistant or something like that.
Okay. So either way, you got three guys there with the guy who's going to be assassinated. Now, what kind of protective detail is that? Benny Hinn and T.D. Jakes have more adjutants than that.
They sure do. It's like the Secret Service with those two guys.
And then on the other side, on the Jewish side, the assassins were Mo, Larry, and Curly.
Sure.
I mean, so no wonder the zealots never did anything right. No wonder they.
Right.
They oh my goodness! This
yes,
was so horrible.
Is.
This was so horrible.
Right. This. Yeah. You're right.
This is bad. This is bad. Wow. This is just, wow. The action sequence was no action sequence at all. There was nothing there. It was nothing.
It was a bunch. They were bumbling idiots.
Right. And then, like you said, here the assassin locks eyes with the soon to be assassinated, and they're like staring at each other. I know who you are. You know who I am.
Right.
And that's, what's that? I mean, give me a break. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy, I tell you, what a mess. What a mess. You don't know if this guy's cooking rice and beans or it's spaghetti and meatballs. You don't know. He's got the rice and the beans mixed in with the spaghetti and meatballs, and he's got slop.
You just get that to the dog, mate. They might.
That's it. That's it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right, I got episode 5 right here. You want to start that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, if we've got time.
Yeah, we have 45 minutes left. So now where do you want me to start this at?
Well, it's the beginning, or if you want to scroll, let me see what I got here. There's probably some stuff in the beginning, so just start it from the beginning, and if you need to scroll through anything, then you'll see.
Yeah, it's not letting me. Okay, hold on. Let me put it back. Okay. Let's see how far back. Okay, it's almost.
Did he tell you his name?
Jesus.
Jesus who? From where?
Lineage, origin.
His favorite food.
He told me his name.
That's it. There were a million Jews here for the festival. Thousands named Jesus.
Jesse, stop pacing.
With all due respect, Rabbi, I've been still for 38 years. Tell us exactly what he said. Again!
He told me to go.
and sin no more. That the result of sin is far worse than being Christian.
And to pick up your mat.
When he healed me, yes. But he found me earlier today as well.
Was anyone with him?
Three men? One was taking notes. I think another said a few words to me as Jesus disappeared. I barely heard anything. My legs.
Jesse.
The other said something. But by the time you finished yelling at me, they were all gone.
Think. What else did he say to you today?
They were going to see Jesus' cousin, I think.
It was him. It was Jesus of Nazareth.
Nazareth?
Out. So it's true then. You're on your feet.
Are you Roman?
My accent give me away.
I already told the Sanhedrin all I know.
I was born Roman. Yes. But I'm just a man. I have to see with my own eyes. I believe was a miracle.
I know it was.
Life-changing. But forbidden. You must want to shout from the rooftops.
I do.
Do you at least have anyone close to share the good news with? Friends? Family?
I encountered my brother almost immediately after leaving the pool.
Incredible. And what did he think? It's safe. Jesse, you can tell me.
He believes the man responsible has to be a Messiah.
Remarkable.
My God, the soul you put into me is pure. You created it, you formed it, and you breathed it to me. It preserved.
Okay, so the guy playing as the decoy was interviewing the man that was healed.
Right.
And he said, okay, you know, who healed you, blah, blah. We heard it. And so basically he's finding out that the guy who was going to assassinate him was the brother of the healed man.
Right. And before that, it was the Jews interrogating him. But like we've been saying, the timelines are all off because that happened sooner, and Jesus was still there because he had engaged with the Pharisees, and that was one of the reasons, because John says, for this reason, when he's talking about the Sabbath, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. And then Jesus talks about them and refers to God as my Father.
Right.
And then right after that, John says, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And then after that, Jesus goes into a whole teaching, engaging with them. But Dallas didn't include any of that. So that's what I'm saying, that the timing on this stuff is off, and they weren't in a little room interviewing the man, not this guy, not blind Bartimaeus. They did it that way, but not this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so let's see. Now this other guy, Simon, the brother, Simon the Zealot, who is supposed to be an apostle at some point, maybe in the third or fourth year or fifth year of Jesus' ministry, he's out somewhere
praying.
Well, I
guess he's looking for Jesus at this point, I think, is what he's doing. That's why he's out here.
Okay. So let's see what transpires now.
Does it within me, then you will restore it.
What is he doing? Swung Fei or whatever they call those exercises?
Tai Chi or some sort of
martial art? Yeah, well, this is crazy.
Doing the breathing, it looked more like mysticism, New Age. I mean, you'll have to help me with this, but did the Jews pray in this fashion? Or maybe that's the zealot thing they're mixing in, but I don't think that. I mean, there was definitely hand-to-hand combat in those days, but not like in the East.
No, I saw my wife doing that when she was doing the Lamaze classes. Those were the breathing
like
for the baby.
Trying to deliver a baby.
Right, exactly. I thought, was he doing Lamaze?
Well, he's getting ready to start doing some other kicks and all this other stuff. You'll see it coming up here.
Wow. This is crazy stuff. This is crazy stuff. Okay, here we go. Wait, what happened? Okay. This isn't the Matrix. This isn't. I mean, this is not the Matrix. This is not John Wick. No. This is not the Equalizer. Wrong show. Wrong movie.
Exactly.
Wow. This is bad. This is real bad. Wow. Wow, this is bad.
And of course, we know everybody had some form of hand-to-hand combat, but I'm not convinced that they had this kind of stuff in first century Israel. What about you?
Yeah, like I said, this is all 21st century John Wick, The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is. Wow. I'm watching and I'm saying, I can't believe it.
This is Blade or somebody, but it's not Simon the Zealot.
No. Absolutely not. No. Okay. This is amazing. I mean, this is it's so amazingly stupid.
Chuck Norris, Van Damme, you name it. That's what this looks like.
Exactly.
Thank you.
so I can smell you. Come no closer.
How did you know I was following you?
The demon that possesses me. Please, it will hurt you.
That won't be easy.
If you can kill me, do it.
Are you a Roman?
No.
A tax collector.
Please.
Your body is temporal. A demon will go on, pass through the waterless places and find someone else. If you're strong enough to have lucid moments, it's safer in you. Until you find someone who can truly help you. God bless you. Would you believe this isn't the strangest thing that's happened to me in the past week?
A smell on you? Something vile.
I heard my brother goodbye yesterday at the end of the feast. He'd been lying in a pool of his own.
Holy person.
Not for a long time.
It has a bad feeling about you.
Thank you.
He said after the feast we could find him near the Jordan, outside Jericho.
We passed Jericho a while ago.
Near is a relative term. And John's never where you expect him to be.
So John jumps out of the bushes like he's demon-possessed.
Right. Now, that first scenes we were looking at with Simon, that wasn't John. That...
Right.
Now, this is completely off from the scriptures, but I'm thinking that's supposed to be the demoniac, the guy with Legion.
Okay.
But it's out of place. Excuse me?
No, I see what you're saying, but he never identified himself as Legion.
Well, we're getting to that part. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give it away, but that's, that's who he's supposed to be. But that's, like I said, Dallas is just making things up, but that's who he's supposed to be. Then now the disciples are meeting up with John the Baptist. You're going to love this episode because remember that scene with Jesus and John talking? This is the episode that's in.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
and
you're going
to
love
listen
it.
To me. And to take such a serious man like John the Baptist and turn him into a kooky uncle. Because that's what
Creepy
he is.
Creepy John, that's what Simon Peter is always calling him.
Yeah, this is no. No,
and remember, he was locked up the last time we saw John the Baptist. Remember when Nicodemus went to see him? But I guess Nicodemus was able to pull some strings to get him out. So now here he is.
Or either that or, you know, John the Baptist is also Houdini. Picked the lock and got himself out.
Right.
Wow. This is just
so
awful.
So this is just a warning. This is getting ready to be a mess.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Hello, Katya. I heard about the scandal at the pool.
I love it.
I figured you would. They're going to come after you so hard for that. Let them come. I see you're still not eating meat, huh?
Oi, the hassle of it all.
Skin and bones.
Listen, we don't have much time.
Time?
I left Jacob and the rest of my followers in Jericho to preach repentance. I have to go back to Jerusalem.
Jerusalem?
We were all just there.
You didn't hear the news?
What?
Herod divorced Phacelus and is marrying Herodias, his brother's ex-wife. Someone has to call them out on this filth.
Good men, will you allow me a moment with my cousin?
O Adonai, my God in you.
Okay, so now Mary Magdalene is meeting with that other female disciple, right? That's what,
right,
that's what
and
we
teaching
have now.
Her to read this, teaching her to read the scriptures. But I got some questions about what John the Baptist said, this John the Baptist, about
right.
going back to Jerusalem and confronting Herod, about his adultery. But Jesus was in Galilee at the time that happened. That's where Herod was the tetrarch, and I believe that's where the confrontation between him and John took place, not in Jerusalem. And also, we're not sure if Jesus even saw or interacted with John after he was baptized, so there's that too. So what say you about that little piece?
Yeah, I guess, you know, you can meet in Disneyland, you can meet, you know. you don't know what you're going to see when you see these shows. You don't know.
It's just
no biblical accountability, no chronology, no accuracy, nothing.
No.
You know, and before, you know, the saying, the devil's in the details, that was originally said of, you know, the saying, originally the saying was God is in the details. Then later on, 100 years later, they turned it into the devil's in the details. But originally it was God is in the details. And yes, he is in the details. And this does not follow the details.
No, it doesn't. And this scene we're getting ready to see with Mary, she's going to be acting a little weird. We did miss a little piece in the beginning where she's gathering some fruit so they can have some food, and she sees a Roman soldier ride by, and then she seems to be having this kind of flashback. So I guess Mary's got PTSD or something going on from her past. So when you see this scene coming up, she's going to be acting a little weird.
All right, let's see what this is about.
The root is in these three characters, het, to seek refuge. But there's no he.
It's swallowed up in the ending characters.
How does it do that?
The ending characters are... it's defining the action as... I can't remember the rule.
No, it's okay.
No, it's really frustrating. I know this.
Let's take a break.
No.
From my pursuers and deliver me, lest they cut a lion.
Tear, not cut. And notice that the lion is not receiving the tearing, he's doing the tearing. The calf is the hint of that.
Lest, like a lion, they tear.
So explain that to me, since I'm not Dr. Phil. Explain.
Well, like you, I said, he's short with this young lady, and when she's trying to teach her, and she's looking around, and she seems upset because, like I said, we didn't go through that part, but she saw a Roman soldier, and it seems like it affected her, or gave her some kind of flashback, because remember, in the very first episode, I think it was, Dallas alluded to some sort of trauma she had and raped
right.
by a Roman soldier. So when she saw the guy while she was out, he didn't see her, but she just saw him, and with her for having flashbacks or something right now. So I guess she's got PTSD or something, and so that she's going to start dealing with here.
Okay. All right. Now, of course, we know, and we're nitpicking, we know that Mary Magdalene
right.
didn't have any PTSD. You know, that's, again...
Right.
So
a modern thing.
Yeah.
But what I want to say, and just going back to the common sense a little bit here, Jesus cast the demons or cast spirits out or healed her of her infirmities according to the Bible. So there's nothing in the scripture, even the other times we heard of mentioned Mary Magdalene, it doesn't seem like she was still suffering. But Dallas is depicting this as if Jesus' healing of her wasn't complete, that she still got some emotional issues going on. And now she's been triggered.
Yeah, it's like when you go to, let's say, Todd Bentley for healing. You're healed when Todd Bentley heals you, and then the next day you're back on the floor having seizures, right?
Right.
It's, you know, you're healed, but you're not healed.
I mean, I guess it's kind of weird how he's doing that, how she's been fine all this time, and now she gets triggered, even though she's seen plenty of Roman soldiers up to this point. So I don't know what's different about this time.
Yeah, what's different is the director.
right.
You know, he needs to do something with the character, right? I mean,
right.
He wants her to be sympathetic. Maybe she was a rape victim. Maybe he's trying to reach out to people with, you know, subliminally trying to reach out and say, okay, you rape victims out there, I know what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mary Magdalene was raped, you know. But there's all kinds of reasons why this guy is doing what he's doing.
Right.
Right? You know?
Right.
To put more hooks into people. That's
or
what he's
to appeal
you know.
To, or to appeal to women in general.
Yeah.
The devil loves to go after the women first. It's his pattern.
Right. Well, look, Dallas is using every trick in the book. He's using every trick in the book. You know, and this is why all his characters are 21st century characters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if you're let's take Simon the Zealot. Okay, Simon the Zealot in today's world is a Black Lives Matter guy who's just mad, right, that he hasn't gotten his reparations check. Right? I mean, you know, so you know, when you look at all these characters, they represent somebody today in the modern world.
You're right, absolutely.
Right?
The social justice, the oppression of the common man and Jesus as the revolutionary that's going to turn that on its ear. So, yeah,
right.
You're
and,
right.
Yeah, and the Pharisees are you and me, the people who criticize Dallas Jenkins and his Jesus. We're the Pharisees.
Yes.
So, you know, he's just letting us know. You know, these guys, you can relate. The Pharisees are nitpicking. Why are you doing this on the Sabbath? Right? That's us.
Yes.
You know, we're all there. We're all represented. We're all represented.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay.
It's not going well. Couldn't agree more. You see it too. How frustrated Mary is. When she needs a pause to compose herself, she takes a drink of water. No, I meant staying behind with you while everyone else is out chopping wood or whatever.
Daniel said he needs more posts for the new tent.
I know.
They said that we are better suited handling the food.
Yes, Matthew, I was there. This is what I'm talking about.
It's because I was a tax collector.
You were a tax collector?
You knew that.
I think you're arrogant.
I don't think you're right. I'm very humble.
You're bragging about your humility.
And yes, it's because you were a tax collector. And why are you watching Rema so closely?
I'm not watching her. Oh, you're collecting Torah verses. You're donating your tablets.
Is that easy to get? You like her? You can be very illogical when you're emotional.
I thought Matthew was going to say he's gay. No, I don't like your girlfriend. I'm gay.
With the way this is going, anything is possible with Dallas. But no, he doesn't say that.
Right.
That's Thomas and Matthew arguing.
Yeah, right. And we know that Thomas's girlfriend is the one who brought the wine, and she went on a trip with him. And so since Matthew is donating tablets for her to learn how to read and write and all that stuff, are you in love with my girlfriend? And, you know, all Matthew has to say, no, I'm gay. That's, you know. This is so, this drags.
It does.
This just drags.
These scenes are not even necessary. But as you say, dragging out Thori.
Yeah. Amazing. All right.
Right there in the book of Moses, if a man takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless.
I understand this against the law of Moses, but I'm here for bigger purposes than the breaking of rules.
You minimize incest?
Of course not.
What if the laws of Moses will be minimized?
All of this will be addressed. I'm not ready to get into the specifics.
You appear to be not ready to get into the specifics of a lot of things. For instance,
stay on topic. The romantic love.
In other words, Jenk and Jesus is Osteen Jesus. He doesn't know anything.
Right. Right.
He doesn't. And John the Baptist is calling them out on it.
Yes, which we know that, well, at least I don't believe Jesus would or John the Baptist would ever be this disrespectful in his tone toward the Lord.
But here's the thing, we know John the Baptist would never be disrespectful towards the Lord because the Lord was not like this.
Absolutely.
The Lord was not a ninny. This isn't Jesus. Maybe someone will in the future tell us about this. Until then, we have to wait. That's not my Jesus. That's not your Jesus.
This Jesus is like cowardly, and he's uncertain about when to do certain things, because what it looks like is John the Baptist is trying to coax him into showing who he is. So Jesus is being presented like he needs in the episode with Mary, his mother, feeling he didn't need her, and now then he actually did need her at the end, so he needs his mother, and then he needs John the Baptist to coax him into speaking out and getting on with it instead of being coy and not like he's afraid or something.
This Jesus reminds me of Joel Osteen's Jesus, where Joel Osteen says,
"Absolutely,
I just want to love people. I'll let my father judge. I'll let God, my Father, judge that. I'm not God. Wait a minute. You are God in the flesh. What are you talking about? You don't know, or this isn't the way to do it, or." Jesus is supposed to back up his word.
That's right.
Not go against it. How could God say something in one section of his Bible and then go against it?
Right.
That's not God.
And remember when in Joel Osteen's thing, he presented Jesus as some sort of student of John the Baptist, and it's almost like that here, like John
right.
is just a little bit more advanced than the Lord, so he's got to push him out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And like you said, there is no way that John the Baptist would ever be disrespectful to Jesus, ever. The reason being is because Jesus is not this punk Jesus we see here. This is a punk Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
This
That's
is a
right.
Jesus who you, if you told this Jesus, I'll see you in the schoolyard at 3 o'clock, he would have went to the principal's office at 2:15 and said, I want my mommy to pick me up.
Or he would have ran off and you'd be standing out there waiting for nothing.
Right, right. No. Okay, here's a little more. We have a few more minutes. We can squeeze more of this in here.
Lives of rulers and kings has been and always will be of enormous fascination to people. It was covered at length in Torah. I don't see why you feel the need to focus on it
the
now.
The client king, or tetrarch, or whatever, he's one of us, and he's unlawful. I am not afraid of him. He may not be as bad as his father, but he is still bad. I'm going to march straight into his court, and I'm going to tell him to his face. My followers will love it.
You do know how that's going to end, don't you?
I get arrested all the time. It's what radicals do. I'll be fine. Herod is afraid of me. The people hold me to be a prophet. Some say Elijah himself.
Well, maybe not the Elijah, but we both know of the Elijah-ness of your own.
Do we? Because I'm beginning to wonder why you're taking this so slow. Why you're always running away after performing miracles. Tell me, why do you always go off to these desolate places?
I need solitude. I'm working on something. A sermon. A big one.
Oh. You're the planning type.
Wow, Jesus is me, where I need to sit down and write my sermons, and then when I got three lines and the three lines stink, I crumple up the paper, throw it in the waste paper basket, and I start all over again.
Right. Yes,
wow.
Exactly.
Wow. He's working on something, which is the Sermon on the Mount. But he needs practice.
Yep.
Jesus needs practice.
Yes, indeedy. Yep, that's what he's working on. And
wow.
You'll see more of that as this goes along. I told you this was going to be a train wreck. But
wow.
Going back to John saying something about how you're going to get arrested, and I get arrested all the time, but the only time the Bible says he was arrested was when he was arrested that last time and later he was killed.
Right.
And the confrontation with Herod was in the street, wasn't it? Not necessarily John marching into his court. I mean, I could be wrong on that one, but
Listen. All of this is pure. He's not a radical.
This never happened.
Right. First of all, John the Baptist is not a radical. Right. This is not liberation theology. Him and Jesus are not radicals.
He's going up against the man, the pigs.
Right. Exactly. And John, like you said, was never arrested. I'm used to getting arrested. No, didn't happen that way. And like you said, it happened in the street. And by the way, it didn't happen on the spot. Listen, all of this is convoluted because even when Jesus says, "I'm working on the sermon," that's the first thing he preached. And this,
right.
This is in the middle.
That episode was called John. Matthew 4:24. The healings and all of that, right after that is when Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, all his disciples were chosen and they were with him by then. We just got to Simon the Zealot and we haven't even seen Judas yet.
Right. And let me read Acts 1 for our listeners so that they can understand why all of what we're saying is so important. Okay. Because it says in Acts 1 when they were praying about adding another apostle to the team, it says in Acts 1:20, "For it is written in the book of Psalm, 'Let his habitation be desolate,'" referring to Judas, "'and let another man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another man take. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied us all the time that Jesus went in and out from among us." Now look at verse 22. "Beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day in which he was taken from us, must one be ordained." So in other words, all 12 had to be picked by the time of the baptism.
Right?
Because it says here, beginning from what period? The baptism of John.
The baptism
Simon
of John.
Simon the Zealot, he's not even in yet.
Right.
He would be disqualified based on this criteria here. And that's why they could only find two people, because it was hard to find someone who had been with Jesus from the beginning. They only found two: Barsabbas, surnamed Justus, and Matthias. They only found two.
Right.
And again, Mary Magdalene wasn't even named. And Dallas Jenkins has her there from the beginning, and he's got Simon the Zealot there in the middle. What?
He didn't even show Jesus' baptism in his series didn't start with the Lord's baptism, so technically none of them were there according to Dallas.
Right. No, this is awful. This is just awful. Him and by the way, this John the Baptist looks like Charlie Manson. Whoever is picking these actors, whoever's signing them up, you can't get a Charlie Manson looking John the Baptist. It won't work. And he's crazy.
They want him to.
This
they
John the
want
Baptist
to
is
look,
crazy.
They want him to look crazy. And it's the makeup and stuff and costuming, of course. But they want a certain look with these guys. That's why one of the reasons they were chosen, I'm sure, no pun intended.
Right. Well, we're going to stop it at the 16-minute mark. That's what we're stopping it, so we can come back next week. But no, listen. This is, again, if I went, look, I remember taking a class on the Synoptic Gospels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher for this class, we had to buy a book called The Harmony of the Gospels, The Harmony, right? And what the book does mm-hmm. is it puts together for you, you know, when you read the Gospels on their own, you say, wait a minute, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Which thing came mm-hmm. first, right? Okay, so The Harmony of the Gospels is a class in the, you took the Synoptic Gospels, you took The Harmony of the Gospels, you took the Gospel of John separately because it's not part of the Synoptics. Okay, so you took all of these classes on the, just so that you can get the chronology right. It was important for the professors that you got the chronology of things right. It was mm-hmm. important. So if I would have done what Dallas did, I would have been with a dunce cap in the corner.
Exactly.
Because
this show was a term paper, he would get an F.
And that,
or doctoral thesis or something.
No, this is no. He wouldn't even listen. He would be at the associate's level, because the first year of Bible school was all Old Testament. Second year was New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Third year was all classes in ministry, and fourth year were all the classes in theology. He would be at level two, having a dunce cap on his head. And listen, we're not even talking about the book of Acts. We're not talking about the epistles of Paul. We're not talking about the general epistles. We're not even talking Revelation. Listen, the Gospels are the beginning of year two. He would have never made it out of year two.
Mm.
That's the first. Listen, the Gospels are it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that right, oh, my goodness, you ain't going nowhere. How could you understand Paul's letters or the general epistles or even the book of Revelation if you don't even have the life of Jesus?
If you don't know who Jesus is, the rest of it is definitely not going to make sense.
Right. And the chronology is so important. You know, it's like, look, coming up soon, you know, we're going to have what they call the Passion Week. And, you know, I remember in church when I was a young pastor, when I was a young associate pastor, and we had the Good Friday service, and
mm-hmm.
my senior pastor would pick seven of us on staff and say, okay, you got this word, you got the first word, you got the second word, you got the third. And, boy, we had to preach those things in order. You can't go up there and preach the last seven words of Jesus out of order. You can't preach them out of order. You'd be laughed at the church. And that's just the last seven words of Jesus you got to get right. Can you imagine his entire life? You messed that up? This is pitiful. Pitiful. Well, we're out of time, though. I hear Block Talk Radio telling me we got 60 seconds. So you have the last word, my sister. And Saints, don't forget tomorrow, Sister Marie. Sister Marie, tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
All right. Well, just thank everyone for listening. And we love you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.